Looking at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9, I just wanted to read one section for you here as we begin. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A man lies motionless in his hospital bed. There's been a terrible accident, life-threatening injuries. Doctors say that there is almost no chance of survival, and yet there is his wife at his side holding his hand. She knows that doctors have been wrong before, and she also knows that God is a powerful God and that nothing is impossible with Him. And as she sits and holds his hand, suddenly there is a gentle squeeze. Where there is life, there is hope. It's a person flirting with a dangerous sin. He's fallen before and he could fall again. There are days where he just wants to give up and give in. But then he remembers that Jesus died to take away his sins, and he remembers that God will give him the strength he needs to find temptation. He also remembers that this struggle within him is a sign that the Spirit lives within him. Where there is life, there is hope. In and around the city of Jerusalem, people were trying hard to understand everything that had taken place. Darkness had covered the area. There was an earthquake, reports of people rising from the dead. People had seen Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, the Pharisee, carrying Jesus' body to the tomb and burying it. It seemed like this was dark days. But then there was an earthquake, and somehow a massive stone had been rolled away from the grave's entrance. Some people went to see what had happened for themselves and came back with all kinds of reports. Among them was Peter, who had gone out and saw the open grave and went inside and saw that Jesus was not there. Some had come back and said that they had seen Jesus alive. Where there is life, there is hope. And as we consider life and hope this morning through these words from 1 Peter, please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. So, where there is life, there is hope. Sometimes after in this time of Eastertide, there can be a little bit of what you could sometimes call Easter jet lag. You know how it is. I mean, you've got 7 weeks of Lent, and it all leads up to Easter Sunday and Holy Week, and it's a long time to get there. You finally get there and arrive, and it's a big, wonderful day. The flowers and decorations, the breakfast, the music, everyone coming together, the belting out of those great Easter hymns, and everybody kind of goes, oh, we made it. And then in the weeks after Easter, there can be a little bit of a letdown. Sometimes you can see it, you know, the church isn't quite as full as it was last Sunday. The collective breath kind of leaves you like, well, spring is out there and I'm going to get to it sooner or later. As I say, I personally have a law in my home that I don't cut the grass before May 1st. I'm just not quite ready to do it yet. But as you look at Peter, you know, he was there on that first Easter and didn't quite know what to make of it all. And then as Jesus appeared to him, clearly he was filled with excitement at the fact that his Savior had risen from the dead. Jesus called him to feed his sheep later on. And now here he was out and about years later, and there was no Easter jet lag. I mean, if you look at these words from Peter's first letter, he is clearly excited, overjoyed at the fact that his Savior had risen from the dead. Years had gone by, and here is the joy. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I mean, you can just hear him. The excitement just sort of leaps off the page. And how, as we begin our growth group series here today, it's important to recognize the same connection that Peter makes. There's a connection between life and hope. Where there is life, there is hope, as in living hope, which is an important distinction because living hope is not just an adjective. It's also a verb. That means that over the next weeks, we'll be looking at what it means not just to have a living hope within us, but to actually live our hope in this world that is dying around us. Now, that may seem a little bit confusing, but as you would expect, we'll take some time to dig into it a little bit this morning and throughout the week. Again, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Understand that your heavenly Father is so certain that you are one of his children that he has an inheritance of heaven waiting for you and your name is on it. In fact, he has marked you with his name here on earth in order to be able to mark your inheritance in heaven with your name. You see the switch that's there? His name is on you and your name is on his stuff in heaven. And all of it happens through this new birth into a living hope that Peter describes. And it's no connection that Peter connects resurrection and this new birth. It calls to mind the meeting that Jesus had with Nicodemus, where he said, "Unless no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born again." Now, as you know, Jesus wasn't talking about a physical rebirth here. He was talking about a spiritual rebirth. This rebirth, or as Peter puts it, the new birth, comes through God's word and his sacraments. In other words, through what we call the means of grace. God touches pyramids. Yeah, there we go. Did you hear Siri talking on my phone? I bent over and asked me, missed what I was saying. I'll repeat it. So God touches his people with his word, changes hearts. Through word and water of baptism, he takes you from this poor, lost, miserable creature into a new person, so that a new person daily arises to live before God in righteousness and purity. And then to make sure that you regularly receive that forgiveness and are encouraged and assured of your place in heaven, he comes to you with his word in and with and under that bread and wine of his body and blood in his holy supper. There we find that message of healing and hope. But it would all be meaningless, and God's word would be absolutely powerless if, as we sang about in our opening hymn today, if Christ had not been raised, all of it would be pointless. If Christ were still in the tomb, if Christ were dead, then we're as good as dead, because it only makes sense where there is no without life, there is no hope. But because Jesus has been raised, everything is different. God has given us new birth into a living hope. In other words, we live our hope because our Savior lives, and nothing can change that. Because where there is life, there is hope. A hope that can never perish, never spoil, never fade. And the reason is because our hope is not in this world. If it were here, it'd be done for. It would go to ruin and rust, but it is kept in heaven for you, and because of that, it can never perish, spoil, or fade. Only, it isn't just being kept for you. Understand that God is keeping you for it. Peter explains, "You through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Do you see this promise that Peter is proclaiming, this new birth, this hope, this inheritance? It's all yours through faith. Faith is that conduit, that pipe, that wire, that connection between God's power and your heart. And he establishes that connection through his word and through the water of baptism. And that power is sent to our hearts to make us who God wants us to be. And through that power, he shields you and protects you and emboldens you. He gifts you with a life of hope. That's why living hope by faith, in other words, just simply being a Christian, isn't like putting an organ donor sticker on your driver's license. You know what I'm talking about? How you get your driver's license and they ask if you want to be an organ donor and you put that sticker on there. Do you ever notice that that sticker, it really doesn't mean a whole lot unless you die? It really is kind of pointless, isn't it? You know, you put it on your driver's license, the sticker, and you stick it in your wallet and it's there. You just go, okay, well, something happens. I think sometimes we're like that with our Christian faith. You know, we have our Christian card, and it has our eternal life sticker on there. And I think we sometimes think, well, I've got it in my wallet, so when the time comes for the last day for me, I'm good to go. Otherwise, it just sort of stays there, right? I mean, you wouldn't want to pull it out and have people think things of you that you wouldn't want them to think. And I do kind of bury it in my wallet, so it would take me a while to actually find if I needed to. But, you know, I'm good because I have it. And if I pulled it out, you know, I might lose it. So better to just sort of keep it buried in my wallet and never pull it out, huh? Yeah, I think sometimes we have that attitude when it comes to living our hope by faith. But being a Christian, living our hope by faith means valuing that Christian card and its eternal life sticker above all else. Living your hope by faith means finding joy and having that Christian card in your wallet. Living your hope by faith means pulling it out, that Christian card, at every opportunity. It means living your hope by faith every day, come what may. And we're going to get into this in the weeks ahead, where Peter is talking about living this hope in spite of everything that's going on in this dying world around us. But for now, he gives us a little hint of what is to come. He says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." Because you see, there's work to be done, even now in you. A refining that takes place as you live in your resurrection hope, by faith, in the full knowledge that what is being accomplished in you now is all in anticipation of what will be yours in the life to come, through Jesus. Though now you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you're receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. There's a saying that goes, life without Christ is a hopeless end. Life with Christ is an endless hope. Now, I don't know who actually put those words together, but they certainly bring together what we're talking about today, life and hope. Where there is life, there is hope. For Christians, this whole time of Easter can be summed up in those simple words, Jesus lives. Where there is life, there is hope. So get living. Amen.